Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming, we are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry, we'll voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time: politics, film, TV, UFC, sex, drugs, rock and roll, fitness, you name it. We talk about it. We're going to talk about it today. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, weeks gone by. You still alive? Happy? Everything's good?
I mean, I'm barely alive, Bruce. The action that went down in the octagon on Saturday was giving me heart palpitations, I think.
I think I lost about 3 or 4 pounds of water weight last Saturday, and we're going to talk about it. That was a really exciting show. And let's talk about it with our special guest, a man who I have the pleasure of working with. I'm happy to be a spokesperson for his really fine company, Icon Meals. Check it out at iconmeals.com. But let's talk with the CEO, the man with a vision who's put it into action, Todd Abrams. Todd, how are you?
Doing great, Bruce. Appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure to be on today.
My pleasure to have you on, too. You know, Todd, we were introduced by mutual friend Garrett Marciano, and I work with Garrett. You work with Garrett. And I had the pleasure of trying your meals when you were so nice to send me a batch. You caught me at the perfect time because I had a chef that was making my meals and delivering them to my door, and they were amazing. And she moved to Illinois and became a realtor. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? You know? And I'm looking at all these different meal companies, and I checked, I won't even name their names. It's really not worth it for most of them, except for a few. There are some good ones out there, but, I wasn't happy, you know, either came in a box and I had to cook them, which is not my style. Cause I'm just always on the run. I needed fresh meals, came to me delivered. And I was introduced to you, and then you sent me down a batch of meals, and I'm a big breakfast eater. I love the breakfast. I love the meals, and boom, it was a match made in heaven. And now we're working together, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you because your courtesy, the way you started this and the way you introduced me to your company, good businessman, Todd, good businessman. Appreciate so that. Let's talk about this. I know you're into health and fitness. We also have another mutual friend named Robert Drenk. I don't know if you know Robert or not. He's one of my best friends. And he raved about you when I was getting involved in this, but, you know, you're a man that stays in shape, you're a man that eat well. And was this a vision? Because I'm all about passion and following my passion and monetizing my passions. How did this start? And tell us how you ramped it up, because you've become quite a big company.
Yeah. It's actually funny you say the passion, because that's exactly sort of where it started for me. I was, prior to this, I wasn't in the food space, but also growing up, I'll call it the fat kid, right? I used to be called Lumpy. So for all through adolescence and different things, I wasn't in the good shape, and even into my late 20s and 30s. So from that standpoint, it's more a passion project, right? Because I truly believe once I understood how my body worked and what food could do for me, then I wanted to share that with other people. And that's really where it started from. There was other companies, as you said, in the industry and in the market there, but I just didn't like what they were doing. There's a lot of different preservatives, a lot of different things in there. And I'm a picky eater, probably much like you. And I wanted what I want, but I also didn't want what I didn't want. Right. So from that standpoint, we started building the company roughly about 6 years ago. And we started by doing custom meals. So build in where we would take your protein, your carbs, your veggies. You can pick your protein portion size, your flavor, et cetera, and we build it to your macros or for specific dietary requirements, et cetera. And then grew it from there. We have a signature menu now, as you know, 30 plus meals, but it was that initial vision that really, I truly believe when you understand what food can do for you, it does, and it can change people's lives. So I like to have that, I'll call it arsenal in my tool belt, and share that with other people. So that's what we've sort of built the company around.
Well, you know that, what I really like about the company is you have your signature meal menu, and many people come into this and cater to you, such as athletes and bodybuilders and stuff. My buddy, Michael Hearn, you have a signature breakfast burrito, the Titan burrito, which is one of the first items that I tried. Also, I rarely eat meat. Okay. And if I do eat meat, I eat bison meat. Yep. And your bison meat's available. It comes in breakfast. It comes everything. the set meals, and everybody, please check this out, iconmeals.com. Very easy to order. The other thing I like about it is your pricing is fantastic. Okay. A lot of these meals, I know people that pay $25 are, you know, $20, $30 a meal, whatever. Your meals are coming in anywhere from like $10 to $12, even less.
That's huge. That's huge. Yeah. Because just real quick on that front, I know a lot of people, we talk about convenience, Bruce, and you know, a lot of decisions, you know, for dietary, you know, choices, unfortunately made out of convenience. And when you look at some people's like DoorDash bills, you have people paying like $1,500 a month in food that would cost them half the price if they would just not even necessarily prepare it themselves, but just go get it. Like they pay so much for convenience. Yep.
Yeah. But which maybe 20% of that is delivery charge and all the, you know, the ramp up handling costs and all that. And they're very reasonable in the way that they ship and everything else. Of course, you have the choice of a FedEx if you need it quickly or whatever.
Right, but like a healthy meal at 10 bucks, like what you're saying, like, dude, that would change so many people's lives.
Well, here's an example. Okay. Now this is an example and there's lesser expensive, but let's just take Michael Hearns, the Titan burrito. What I like about your site, Todd, and how easy it is one of the things that people worry about is caloric intake. You know, if everybody's really specific, they worry about the carbs, they worry about the amount of fat or whatever the case might be. You outline all of this. And it's like, TJ, you can actually design a meal. You can design your breakfast. You can design your lunch or your dinner and say, let's say for dinner, I want salmon. Mm. And then I want mashed sweet potatoes, right? And I want the vegetable selection. So do I want 6 ounces, 8 ounces of meat? Do I a fish? Do I want 6 ounces, 8 ounces, whatever? Every time you hit the button to increase, it shows the calorie count. I like to keep my meals around 600 calories, 700 calories. So I'm eating about 2,000, 2,500 calories a day, not counting what I ingest. Because sure, the way I train, the secret of life is that, and Todd, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're a male, you take your body weight and you multiply it times 12. That's the amount of calories you can have a day and not gain a pound, right? If you're female, you multiply it times 13. If you want to lose a pound of fat, I'm talking fat a week, you want to reduce your caloric intake by 3,500 calories a week. That's
can you lose a pound of fat a week? Is that even possible? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right, Todd?
Yeah, 100%. The other thing that people don't understand, I think what you tapped on, and we won't get into it a lot of it, but if you want to dial in more, TJ and Bruce, you know this, it's a bit your protein consumption, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of males actually consume at that X amount of calories. It's still a lot less protein than they should be. So when you say 12 times your body weight, I tell people as well on the protein side, you want to go 1 to 1.25 times body weight per gram of protein per pound of body weight, right? And that's where people, because if you're eating that whole X amount of calories, let's say you all eat 2,500 calories and it was just carbs and fat, you don't have the proper protein, you're going to be soft, you're going to be bloated, you're going to feel not right. And the protein's important because one of the biggest things, and I don't know if you know Dr. Gabrielle Leone, but she talks about, she has much muscle-centric medicine. And as we age, she says, hey, society's not over obese or not fat, we're under-muscled, right? And I'll say Michael Hearn's a perfect example of that. As he ages, right, you hold more muscle. It's the things that we don't think about, getting up from sitting down in a chair, right? When so many people break their hip, break their knees, et cetera. But that's a lot of the time because they don't have the muscle mass or just muscle on their body to support all other functions. So that's a big important thing as you age. So our meals were built around that sort of element of convenience, but also the element of being able to put in what protein you need. So
what's interesting to me too, Todd, is something that you already discussed a little bit. And I think it comes down to the quality of food that you're eating, because a lot of people will restrict their caloric intake, but, you know, be hungry because they're not eating as much food. But I've also heard that a lot of people can be on a calorie restricted diet, but as long as their macros are dialed in and they're getting what they want, they don't find themselves as hungry as if they were, you know, maybe eating the same amount of calories, but just not as quality of food.
I think it goes back to quality, because if you're eating, I'll call it processed food and all that stuff, your body's not going to be satiated, right? So there's certain things that make you want more. They make you crave salt. They make
you eat salt, you want more salt.
Correct. Well, sweets and stuff. And salt's not necessarily a bad thing, but when you have good whole food, right? Good fats and more protein actually satiates you. So like I teach my kids all the time, hey, my little guy, you want to eat your protein first, right? And different things, because then you can fill it in with other things. But the protein and the fats are things that are going to satiate you and make you feel that you are full, right? And the other element of that is really the element of taking in a certain amount of water on a daily basis, right? And I say, hey, to people, hey, it should be a gallon a day, etc. But that's for another discussion. But again, those are the different things that can help you on a diet. And people don't understand as well as you drink more water, you actually can become more lean than the other way around.
A gallon of water a day, I'd be in the bathroom every 6 minutes.
I drink about 2 gallons a day.
So. You're crazy.
Actually, the formula that I learned was 8 ounces of water for every 20 pounds of body weight. If you weigh 200 pounds, then you should have basically 10 8-ounce glasses of water a day. As far as the salt and the intake, why do you think when you eat Chinese food, you want to go back and eat again in an hour? You know, it's like you wonder how that all works.
The MSG and the sodium and other stuff in there as well.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple other formulas too for people listening, our viewers listening, is the fact that a lot of people say like, oh, I had one meal, right? They don't understand that if you have one meal, let's say you have one meal, 1500 calories, you feel like that. No, you're going to get fat. Okay. Your body's going to just react differently. You need to eat 3 to 5 times a day, you know, in portions. I'm so busy. I usually only get about 3 meals in a day. And like I said, I like 600-700 calories, maybe a little snack in between, a little quality, healthy protein drink or something. A lot of other people think if I eat like 60 grams of protein, you know, the body can't absorb 60 grams of protein in a sitting. I think the formula, and again, Todd, whenever I talk, cause you're the expert, quote me if I'm wrong. I think your body can really only assimilate the average body 22 grams of protein in a sitting.
So that's, I think, a bit misleading because it's higher. It depends on your body weight and how you're structured as well. But for most males, they should be able to take in that sort of high 30s to 50 grams of protein per serving. Because if you're eating an 8 ounce protein portion, that's roughly what you are. On our signature meals, Bruce, we build all our meals on the signature meals. So those 30 meals are built around a 4 ounce protein portion. So you should be running in that 26 to as high, maybe maxed at 40 grams. But that's typically, I'll call it, what a normal person that's going to take in those 1300 to 2000 calories is going to take a 4 ounce to 6 ounce protein portion. So that's again, on a smaller individual, it would be that 22 to 30, but on more male, it's going to be that 40 to 50 grams. Your body should be able to assimilate and use.
Somebody like you and I, or like a Michael Hearn, who's just a monster, you know, working out thing. So let me give a couple examples, TJ, get this, about how these meals work. Okay. Like for instance, the signature meal, if you go and order the Titan breakfast burrito, I'll explain to you what it is. This is Michael Hearn's burrito design. Pulled chicken breast, thick sliced bacon, roasted red potatoes, fluffy scrambled eggs, shredded cheddar cheese, and black beans wrapped tightly in a flour tortilla.
And this is healthy?
Yeah, it's actually lean shredded chicken. Yeah. I eat a bit.
This sounds amazing.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. Good. This comes in at 660 calories, which is, you want to eat a good breakfast.
Wow.
That's your meal that pumps you up for the day. Most people don't realize you got to start the day strong. It has 45 grams of protein, 53 carbs, 4 grams of fiber, and there's 30 grams of fat in there. But it's delicious.
But that sounds like a real filling meal as well. Because one thing that I struggle with, especially like when I travel, Bruce, and you know this better than anybody, you'll find yourself in situations, and especially if you're reading labels, you know, maybe you're in the airport and you'll grab for something. If, you know, a lot of people think like, oh, you know, maybe it's not the best food, but at least it's prepared food. I'll get one of those, you know, breakfast sandwiches from, you know, either a fast food place or a gas station. It's like, it's not very big. And somehow it's like 650 calories, and it's not good for you in any way, shape, or form.
Well, there's processed food in there. You know, the body, in order to stay in shape, people think, oh, I'm going to work out, or I'm going to eat. You know, you got to get it right. It's 75% what I ingest in my body, and it's 25% how I train.
Right.
That's my formula. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm going to walk you through an a la carte meal, because when you go to iconmeals.com, you can pick and choose your meals. So let's talk about the protein. First, they give you a choice of proteins. In this case, I'm going to rattle down here. You can have a Beyond Meat vegan patty if you're vegetarian. And I know, Todd, you're working on other vegetarian choices that are going to be
coming. We actually have a few coming in the next few days.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Because you know how I am about that. I'm kind of half vegetarian.
I just actually did a tasting with 12 new meals this morning. So
fantastic.
Oh, man. Work must suck.
We're working on the breakfast, the buffer burrito. TJ, which is going to be a really healthy one, really good. So you have a Beyond Meat vegan patty. You can have brisket. You can have chicken. You can have cod, fish. You can have ground beef, ground bison, ground turkey, salmon, shrimp, steak, or turkey breast. So now I'm going to tell you how I design my meal. I usually like 8 ounces of salmon. Okay. Then you have vegetables. You can have asparagus, broccoli, brown rice, cauliflower, however you want to say it, gluten-free penne pasta, which gluten-free is always good. Green beans, jasmine saffron rice, Kyoto blend veggies, which is one of my faves. It's just a mix of veggies. Red quinoa rice blend, red potatoes, sauteed carrots, sweet potato mash, sweet potatoes, or white rice. I'm going to go Kyoto blend veggies. I'm going to have a cup of veggies. Then I'm going to get one of my faves, which is sweet potato mash. And I'm going to get 8 ounces of that because I love that stuff. All right. I just designed a meal. Now, let me get here. That is commended 713 calories, 42 grams of protein, only 3 carbs, and 13 grams of fat. How much healthier can you get? That's my dinner. Does that sound good to you, TJ?
Bon appetit. Let's go.
Bon appetit. You know, and then there's other things too. You know, you have a la carte proteins and carbs and veggies. Like, you can get a whole container of salmon, right?
You're a big salmon guy too.
I'm a big salmon guy. I do like fresh salmon, but, you know, proper farm fed salmon. Todd was explaining to me where he gets his salmon, and I love the salmon that they
provide. Salmon is one of our top meals, especially on the signature menu as well. For the last 6 years, I don't know why, but it's always in the top, I'll call it 3 or 4 meals. But it's,
yeah, it's really, really, really good. So, for instance, Todd will send you out 113 grams of salmon, which basically is 4 servings. And this comes in 1 box alone. Let's say you just want to put salmon in the fridge and add it. TJ, that's only $28.
Yeah, that's insane. Like I said, you know, people do DoorDash. You try to do just like a Subway sandwich, and it's like 50% markup, you know, on top of what it normally is. And you're paying $25 or something for a sandwich that literally costs like $7.
Yeah. And he sends them out in 12 box boxes or 24 box boxes. It means you don't have to order 12. You can order 6 meals, but you can get a 12 box box or 24. I usually order up to 24. So I have a couple weeks supply on hand. And then there's snacks. You know, he has coffee and bars and popcorn and seasonings and crisps and bread. I mean, check it out, TJ. This could be something that I think you'd really enjoy, because you talk about getting in shape all the time. I know your wife probably.
A round is a shape, Buff. I'm telling you.
Yeah, but you know, you're jamming. You keep a couple of these at the office. You got to eat a midday meal, which most people miss.
That's what it is. And for me, I think I've alluded to this a little bit. It comes down to convenience and the ability to continue doing what I need to do without stopping my day to go get something to eat. And that's where I think a lot of people, not just myself, but like they'll unfortunately not fuel themselves the proper way, or eat something that's not good because they just don't think they have time to go make the right decision and do the right thing.
Exactly. Yeah,
well, on that element of convenience, I think a lot of people make that last minute wrong decision, right? When they're hangry or whatever.
Hanger's a real thing, Todd. My God.
Whatever they buy. So, but yeah, on the family style, Bruce, and the a la carte, we sell a lot of those because people, it still allows them to, I'll call it, make it feel like they're cooking their own food or whatever. So we have a lot of people that buy those, especially one of the top sellers is that Caribbean meatballs, which is amazing. But again, 4 servings, they might put it with some jasmine rice and then your Kyoto blend, and that's a whole dinner, right? So we have different boxes as such. And then, the snacks complement a lot of different things. So especially with, we have a lot of the kids using the snacks at school on the protein popcorn, the chips, et cetera.
I got a question for you, Todd. Like, I personally would never be able to live this sort of lifestyle. I think it's admirable those that do. But is it possible to use your service and maintain like a vegan lifestyle? Is that something you could do?
So we don't specialize, TJ, in vegan, right? And just based on sort of what we found, we do have offerings. So if you go to the custom menu, like Bruce said, you can build vegan meals. We don't have a big vegan selection under our signature menu. We will have 2 more vegetarian / vegan coming in the coming days. Again, that's just from our testing, but there are other services out there that cater 100% to that vegan clientele and stuff.
I appreciate those that do it, Todd, but I need meat in my life.
Yeah.
Well, the meat's here, but I'm going to tell you, like, in the breakfast.
Come on, show us the meat, Buff. It's right there. It's in those biceps. Right there. Right there it is. Go.
So I'd show you the 6-pack, but people tell you that I have ab implants. So we don't want to. You believe it, Todd, there was a picture of me at a pool like about 10 years ago. And it's like, I think the people that comment are either out of shape or don't know what it's like to stay in shape. Yeah. And would you believe that I've been accused of having ab implants, which is like the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And I didn't even know those existed. Dang. And then I Googled it and it's like, holy hell, you see these guys with their ab implants.
I didn't know that existed until you just said that.
Oh my God, it's so weird, Todd. It's so weird. I still got a 6-pack and I'm going to be 65 in May.
I just told you, you look amazing. So
thank you. Thank you. Likewise.
The energy is incredible. So contagious.
Hey, Buff, how did those ab implants help when you got in the middle of Hamzat Chimaev and Gilbert Burns?
Well, you know what? I kind of, you know, opened up the jacket, flashed them, you know, a little bit, made sure Hasmid walked all the way back to the other side. Why you brought that up? That was talked about at UFC 273. Let me tell you, you've seen me do that for other fighters. And I'm wondering, no offense to the referees, no offense to the commission, but like, come on, boys, act. I mean, I've seen fighters fight before the fight starts. And what does that do, TJ? It ruins the fight.
Right. You're going to fight in 90 seconds.
You're going to fight in 90 seconds.
Hold on.
So I just walked over. I wasn't even announcing. I put my card towards his chest and I said, you know, whatever I told him. And then he kind of looked, you know, he's a funny cat.
He's a young kid though, too. He's a young kid in the moment,
but he went back and we saw one of the greatest fights we've ever seen. And
so good.
And it's like, it cracks me up because like, where's the commission and God bless the referees. Where's the referee? That's not my job, but that is my office. And there's the corner to be kept. I'm sorry. I'm the sheriff of the octagon beyond the referee.
I'm thinking we need to get like one of those daytime judge shows where you're the mediator buffer.
I'm all for it. You know, if I have the time to do it, I'll do it. But getting back to this whole thing here, like on the custom breakfast. Okay. Can I just design one custom breakfast with you, TJ?
Let's do it.
Okay. So now in breakfast, you have egg whites or whole egg, right?
Okay.
I usually go egg whites. You know, I eat a whole egg, maybe 1-2 meals a week. I like my egg whites. Then you have a choice of the meat vegan patty, which I love in my breakfast, brisket, ground bison, chicken, steak, turkey bacon, ground turkey, along with the eggs. Mm-hmm. So here I chose my protein, which is egg whites. Now I'm going to go to my second protein. In this case, I'm going to take a vegan patty. Just one. I'm going to have 9 ounces of egg whites, one patty. Now my side, Todd, the oatmeal's good. He has home style protein pancakes, TJ. They are so delicious, right? And he has a couple different variations. So I'm going to have two. I like my pancakes in the morning. Okay. I just designed a meal that now has come in at, let's see here. Why am I missing this? Okay. Here we are. 779 calories. Now, let me tell you why that's so heavy. Okay. The Beyond Meat patty is 280. So let's say I want to reduce it. Let me go down and just have one pancake. Now my meal is 600 calories. Perfect. Because what I do when I get it is I'll throw in a banana and I'll throw in some blueberries. Sure. Right. And then I get some real Canadian, you know, molasses or honey and honey. So now it's going to jack it up another couple hundred calories. I don't mind. I'll eat 1,000 calories for breakfast because I know I need it for the day.
Right. I think there's a lot of studies that say that breakfast should actually be one of the larger, if not the largest meal of your day because, you know, it's the start. You don't necessarily want to take that much calories in, say, at dinner time when you're going to go to bed in the next three, 4 hours.
Exactly. Plus you want carbs. I want carbs in the morning for sustained energy throughout the day as I do at my lunch where I avoid carbs when I can at night. So now this meal came in at 604 calories, 57 grams of protein, 32 carbs, 26 grams of fat. And fine. I'm ready to go. Give me my coffee, you know, a little juice or whatever, and I'm ready to go.
Hey, let me ask you this, Todd. When you look at what Icon Meals really offers people, do you think that the service specializes in, you know, meals for those that want to lose weight, or is it more for meals that are people that just want to, you know, be properly, you know, fueled, I guess, you know, have the proper nutrients?
Yeah, I think it's for people that are looking for a healthy choice, right? That is convenience. So we're not going to be the people that I'll call are the TV chef dinners or whatever. And there's those guys out there that are going to be a lot lower price, frozen, et cetera. So I think we do cater to that. I'll call it not necessarily, I think some people might believe we're only for fitness enthusiasts and stuff, right? But that's not the case. Our average and main clientele is actually, I'll call it families, right? It's almost equal 50%, like almost 50-50 male, female. But cool. From that standpoint, I think that goes to where a lot of, I'll call it females, especially. So you see that a lot more where we do have the families buy-in where it is, hey, mom's making her own meals. Maybe she's whatever training. Dad's just liking eating the signature meals and then the kids in between. So for that overall, just element of convenience, looking for a clean.
Now alternative. Also here too, I brought up a breakfast meal before our show. I'm sorry. I ate it before the show. But awesome. It comes in these little containers and it's what do you call the wrap on top? How do you say that?
Like a cellophane?
We use a vacuum seal. It's a cryo vacuum.
Oh, okay, technology. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so it actually extends the shelf life of the meal. So you get 12 days in the fridge where if you choose to freeze those meals, TJ, you could have them in the freezer for up to 6 months.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too, because you run into sort of being counterintuitive to the health side of things when you put a lot of preservatives in food, like people that really want to eat clean. Sometimes
I don't know honestly why every single company out there doesn't go to a cryovac and vacuum seal technology. It's just like, especially for us over the past couple of years with what was going on, it was like, I'll call it a blessing in disguise based on just the different regulation and stuff. We worked with a lot of hospitals and stuff, because when you run it through the tunnel, for lack of better, I don't know, terminology, it sucks the oxygen out of the meal. So there's no parasites, like no pathogens or anything can get in that meal until Bruce would remove his seal, right, to crack the seal. So
it's as clean as it possibly could be.
Correct. And it's great because there's no freezer burn. There's no anything if you put them in the freezer, et cetera. When we went to that kind of packaging a few years back, people were asking, hey, did you get new chefs, et cetera, blah, 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 because it locks that freshness in as well. So
yeah, that's one thing that I have really sort of rallied against the last couple of years. I hate frozen food, guys. Like, I just don't like a lot of frozen food from the supermarket that we get, because when you think about something that is fresh, it's just, it's night and day. It's not even comparable.
Well, again, frozen food, I'm not saying this is true, but processed foods will kill you. I mean, it's just
proof. Well, literally. Yeah. Literally.
And speaking of which, now I'm not saying this is the reason, but recently or just the other day, the former Mr. Olympia, Cedric McMillan, died at the age of 44. And they claim it's from COVID, possibly related. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, Todd, is that, you know, bodybuilders, a lot of them, I mean, Michael Hearns, Mr. Natural, you know, guy just ages backwards and forwards. But bodybuilders, you know, known to put as much as $5,000 a month in steroids and extra vitamins into their body to maintain that, which is, and minus plus the amount of food intake they have to do, but you're doing something that's completely unnatural for your body. So there have been a number of people in bodybuilding that have suffered from COVID very, very badly, because their bodies, as great as they look to their fans and to that niche of society, it's not natural, right? It's just, so whatever, it's problematic.
Well, the thing about steroids, though, Bruce, this could go to a different, you know, conversation altogether. Yeah. Like, there's responsible use and there's irresponsible use. And I'm not saying that anybody should go out there and take steroids. That's, you know, something that, you know, especially when you're in athletics, I'm not encouraging anyone to make that jump, but like,
I'm against it, but I understand.
But we've seen, like, I mean, there's a lot of benefits, even in for mental health with people supplementing testosterone. And there's some,
yeah, but
some,
there's a huge difference, CJ, between that.
I mean, 100%.
I'm a huge proponent of longevity and hormonal balance and all that stuff. But when Bruce brought that up, like, that's dear to me, because we've lost, I'll call it the top 10 heavyweights in the last year. There's five, not including the women. So 6 out of 11 top ranking people that were like Mr. Olympia, Mr. like on Arnold stage have basically dropped in the past year. And all those, Bruce, are late 30s to up to 50 years old. It's crazy.
That's terrible. I mean, 50 years old is young at this point still, you know, with modern technology. Like, everyone should be living to at least be 80 plus years old.
But a lot of those, again, we don't know with Cedric yet, Bruce, but a lot of them are all related back to different cardiac pieces that, yes, they do say, depending on vaccines and COVIDs and stuff, there's a bunch of different theories out there, right? So we won't get into that, but it all has tied back to being as big as they are, and so, depending on, but potentially, hey, some kind of mix of different things as well. So
listen, you can get as big as you want, but your heart always stays the same size. Except in this case, in 8 cases, it becomes enlarged.
Right. I mean, you guys are talking about bodybuilders. I mean, look at pro wrestlers from the 90s who, you know, arguably were on that same level, not maybe to the most extreme degree, but there's so many professional wrestlers from the 90s who were doing things that they didn't make it to 50 years old.
I know. You know, in the sports world, as we go on this, I think I want to encourage everybody again, please check out iconmeals.com. Tell them Buff sent you. I don't know if it's going to give you any kind of a discount, but just go ahead and check it out.
Hey, Todd, can't beat the price. Do you ship everywhere? Is this a service that's available in all
we ship all over the U.S., including Puerto Rico and Hawaii overnight.
Wow, that's unbelievable. It is incredible. So I was just in Hawaii, and I tried to buy some stuff to get shipped over there because I was traveling all sorts of places before I got there. It was really hard to get anything in a timely manner over to Hawaii. So the fact that you can get food over there in a timely manner is pretty impressive.
Hey, listen, my trainer, Tito Raymond, I don't know if you know who he is, Todd. He's one of the top trainers. He just got back with his family from Hawaii. And Todd, by the way, if you got to go for anything, let us know.
I was just looking to see about your code. That's why I was.
Oh, no worries. So Tito just got back from Hawaii, and they couldn't even get meat or fresh vegetables because of the supply lines. Can you imagine going on vacation to Hawaii and you can't get fresh fruit?
So apparently if they're shut down, if incoming supplies are shut down for 3 days, it will take almost a month for them to get restocked again. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. I went into a Target while I was in Hawaii just to get some cream cheese because my son likes bagels, and there was no cream cheese. And then we went to another market. No cream cheese. It's like, okay, there's a cream cheese shortage in Hawaii.
Well, speaking of cream cheese, Philadelphia, the home of cream cheese, Philadelphia cream cheese.
I mean, is there any other kind of cream cheese?
Hometown. No, there's not. They just reinstituted the mask law.
That's crazy.
COVID's going rampant in Philly, and they just reinstituted the must-wear mask law. I hope this is not a sign.
Well, I mean, we spent a lot of time on this topic, more than I would like to, but obviously for good reason, Bruce. But like Shanghai's been on lockdown. You know what I mean? Like, it's terrifying. And what's going on?
Their supplies are so thin, people are starving in Shanghai.
Yeah, I know. Well, and, I mean, they're not allowed to leave for any reason. So the government is in charge of actually bringing them everything. And you're taxing a small force to, you know, try to benefit a whole bunch of people. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. We tend to far too often, but
I don't want to go down either. But I'm going to make one statement. It originated, let's say, in Shanghai and spread throughout the world. Now Shanghai is in a second week of lockdown, and they're experiencing the worst COVID situation they've had since COVID started. I don't like that. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
No, I mean, we always say in the show, you know, onward and upward, move forward. And it seems like we're never really free of this.
Going to be a constant battle. It's a lifestyle. At least we're all able to enjoy ourselves without masks. And the only people that are suffering the most are the unvaccinated people when they get this, even if it's the BA1 with the BA2 on the way, that supposedly is less harmful than the original that put people in the hospital, but the unvaccinated people are winding up in the hospital.
Right. Okay. I just want to live a normal life, guys. That's all I want.
I do too. I do too. So let's get back to some normal talk here.
Part of it goes back to what we're talking about, Bruce, is food, is training and longevity that.
Yeah, exactly.
The past 2 years haven't talked about too much, right? I think if we push more of that, there'd be less of the sickness and other stuff, which on the back end to me is one of the benefits of what you do and why you look like you look and how you feel. And
thank you.
Same here. So I think that's underrated.
You know, I used to train. I always ate well, eat well, but I used to train to compete. Now I train to get older. I train to travel, and I train to deal with the unexpected things that could happen, such as when I got COVID last November. And I think part of the reason I survived that thing properly was A, I was vaccinated, and B, you know, I was in shape to handle it, not compromised. So
it startled me when you got COVID, Bruce, because
me too.
Well, out of everyone I know, you're the one that is the most cautious, the most careful. And I travel just as much as you, and I had not gotten COVID, and I'm not nearly as careful as you are. And you got COVID, and yeah, man, like, I don't know. That was a wake up call for me.
Well, wake up call me too. But you know, I just got back from Jacksonville, Florida. We had this amazing UFC 273 show. 15,000 plus sold out. The fans were rabid. Pictures, this, that, and the other. And of course, as usual, I don't care what anybody says, but you know, I've had to quarantine myself from my beautiful little mama. You know, I'm not taking any chances. I just took my second COVID test today for 3 days after being home, and I'm negative, and I'm going to take little mama out to dinner tonight. You know,
good for you, Buff.
Awesome. Yeah. Then you got to play the protective measure. Okay.
And if you can't take her out, you could just, you know, prepare some Icon meals for her.
She gets some, she eats Icon meals. Okay. I have some shipped to my mom's house, and you know, she loves them. All right. So now that the show this last weekend, I mean, what can you say, but that Gilbert Burns, Khamzat Chimaev fight, one for the books, you know, with Gilbert being a 7-1 underdog.
I'm going to say it right now, Bruce, they inducted a new fight into the fight wing of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's a fight that will go into the Hall of Fame. No doubt about it. Gilbert Burns, if I was his manager, I'm telling him, do not take this fight. There's no benefit for you to take this fight. He took it. He was game throughout. I thought Chimaev definitely won the fight, but it was one of those things where it was 2-1. And I thought that Burns' one round was more dominant than Khamzat's two. And, you know, we could talk about scoring and how you want to, you know, break that down. And if all 10 nines are created equally, which they're not. Bottom line is this. Gilbert was number two. Khamzat was number 11. Gilbert has already asked for a rematch. I want it. I want it really badly. I don't know if Khamzat's going to fight Colby Covington next. It makes a lot of sense. But I would like to see, because he's been fast-tracked so much, I would like to see if Khamzat gets past Colby Covington, that we see a Gilbert Burns rematch before Chimaev gets a title fight with Usman.
I would jump in anytime, Todd. I would like to see that too. Khamzat is now rated number three, announced today as a contender. The amazing thing it almost like a Rocky movie. Okay. When that started and those 15,000 plus fans were reacting when I was announcing and then I was whatever, Hamzat received the biggest of all. I mean, he's a fan favorite. Okay. By the second, third round, or rather by the second round, they're yelling Gilbert's name.
Right.
Because he just took them all over with his performance. Cause they thought just like a Tyson fight, Hamzat was going to be out of this. It was going to be over in 2-3 minutes of the first round. The over under was 1.5 rounds. It was an amazing performance. But the good thing is Hamzat has finally faced somebody, a true contender that gave him a fight.
Yeah.
Now the top 10, the champion, they see his armors. They see the kinks in his armor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're more confident to face Hamzat than ever.
That said, though, Bruce, he still answered the bell and still shined. Absolutely. So, like, a lot of people are saying that the stock on Hamzat has gone down a little bit because he did look vulnerable. Well, to a certain extent, it has to, Bruce, because he hadn't really faced any adversity. So we saw that he is vulnerable. But I agree with you. I don't think his stock dropped at all. I think it actually went higher because we see how durable he is. We know that he can go through a war in the trenches and come out the other side and get his hand raised. So for me, Hamzat, yes, he looked more vulnerable than he has thus far in his career. But what happened? Still got his hand raised.
Yep. He's human. We just saw it.
Well, we're all human, right?
We're all human. And then you got the Peltier Jan Aljamain Sterling fight, which many people thought was the other way, including Dana, who admitted it. He even told me that when I walked in the octagon and told him who won.
Yeah, but I mean, it was very close. It was a fight that, so I mean, I hate saying this terminology gets thrown around a lot, but it's a fight that could have gone either way. I firmly believe that. I thought that what we saw Aljamain do early in that fight was really impressive because he had way more success than he did in the first meeting. And, you know, that's the one knock on Sterling is he does tend to fade late. You know, in five round fights, you have to worry about those championship rounds a little bit with him. But it was close enough that I think the argument can more than be made for Sterling. And the bottom line is this: Piotr Jan's not going anywhere. I think we'll see a third match between those two if Aljo stays at the top of the division as champion. And even if he falters and comes up short, like, who's going to be upset with that rematch? We have so much drama between these two now after two fights that the third chapter would be even a bigger deal, I think, for fans.
I agree completely. And I love the human side that we get to see in the UFC because I know for a fact that it was that day on Friday, rather, that Aljamain finally got an okay to bring, or not an okay, his mom came to the show.
Yeah.
And he got a ticket. And to see his little mama walk in the octagon and be so proud of her son, I love these moments. I'm more than just the fight. I'm about the whole circle of love and drama that the UFC brings to the world.
Who cares about the fight? I want to know what they're fighting for, why they're fighting. You know, the fight's fun in itself, but like, if we don't know who the participants really are, not from just a skill standpoint, why do we really care?
That's why we have them on the show. Okay, another couple quick tidbits. I love watching Mackenzie Dern fight Tisha Torres.
That was a great fight.
Monster. That was a very enjoyable fight. And Mickey Gall and Mike Malott. There's a new star on the rise and Mike Malott. And there's a new star on the rise on Dublin, Ireland's Ian Garry.
Okay. I mean, the hype on him has been high, and you know, for him to continue to keep that upswing, it's similar to Hamzat. You know, how often can you go out there when the hype is, you know, really behind you and still deliver? So far, so good for Ian Garry.
Exactly. And one last note before we go on to a couple of stories I want to talk about with Todd. Volkanovski, Korean Zombie, total domination. All respect to the Korean Zombie for stepping up 2 weeks before this fight.
Hall of Famer in my mind.
Hall of Famer. And CJ Cejudo now wants to get in the mix. I don't know if I agree with him going right into a championship fight.
Why not?
But I took the words right out of my mouth. Why not? Okay, it's Triple C. He loves to do it. He's entertaining. Let's do it. Let me announce it. Let's get it on.
I mean, there are things where I agree with you, Bruce. When you do move into weight classes, I generally like you to at least have some sort of trial, you know, to see if you can compete. Maybe it's not always necessarily a number one contenders fight, but you should fight someone in the top 10 if you're a champion from another division or a former champion and you want to come back. I think you need to at least make some sort of logistical case to why you deserve a title fight. But at the same time, like, I have no issue with that fight being made tomorrow. And I would love to see Triple C back in the octagon.
Love to see it. Now let's go into a couple of sports stories here. Todd, one of the craziest things that happened this week was the Pittsburgh Steelers just signing quarterback Dwayne Haskins, who's fatally struck by a dump truck as he tries to cross a 4-lane highway at 5 in the morning. How do you explain this? It's so tragic. but what the hell is he doing trying to cross a freeway at 5 a.m? I don't get it. And this was a very well loved and liked.
There's got to be more to the story than we know.
There's got to be more to this story. I can't even comment beyond that. You know, was he going to be the starter? Was he a backup?
I think that's sort of up for debate because Roethlisberger, I believe, retired. So that would have been figured out in camp.
Got it. Now, the other thing, Todd, are you a golfer?
Scratch golfer. Not good.
I can play 9 holes and then hit the bar. I'm not an 18-hole guy. So
we talking putt-putt?
No, I'll get out on the – I love golf courses. I just don't have the time. And I hate even saying that.
Well, actually, Bruce, on that quick note, I had some people asking me if you were a golf guy because you were wearing that green jacket over the weekend in Augusta, you know?
Well, let me tell you, I picked that green jacket. I had a friend over and she was helping me make a choice. And she selected the green thinking Florida, whatever. It didn't even occur to me until I was in the Octagon and I was going and my Twitter was going off and people saying, oh, I'm honoring the Masters. And I can't lie. I never lie unless I'm playing you in poker. I want all your money. I'm going to lie through my teeth.
Right, of course.
But I'm like, no. And I thought, what a quinky dinky, right? I've got the green jacket. I go, oh, this is cool. I am actually paying honor to the Masters. How cool is that? By the way, speaking of the Masters, do you have any, do you know how much money these guys make for getting first in the Masters, TJ?
Yeah, it's something like, 1.5 million?
No. It's the highest point. It's the Masters now the highest paying major ahead of the last year's 12.5 million purse, the US Open, 15 million.
Oh, 15 million.
Oh, no, 20 million.
So I misspoke. I thought it was 15 million. I knew it was 1.5 something, but that's incredible. That's 20.
Yeah. Well, actually I'm going to recorrect this. This year's event will be 15 million, which is an increase from last year of 11.5 million.
Wow.
And first place, TJ, you are correct, was $2 million. The winner.
Okay. So it's a total weekend. Prize pool of 15.
Total prize pool. The winner took home $2.7 million.
And then what's the lowest spot that you get paid anything? It's like 40.
Lowest spot, according to this, they're paying up to 50 spots, which paid $37,800.
Which, I mean, that's incredible, but that is a sport. And again, I'm not trying to say that it's anywhere near the same sport that we obviously cover in combat sports, Bruce, but the amount of consistency and mental fortitude required to, you know, be in that spotlight and perform well is unbelievable. I think a lot of people don't look at golfers as these supreme athletes, but man, the smallest of things can go absolutely wrong and you know, cause these guys to miss out on millions of dollars. And, you know, you haven't invoked his name yet, but he didn't obviously win. But Tiger Woods, even to compete in the Masters after what he's gone through with this car wreck.
14 months after?
Yeah. Unbelievable. I never thought he would play golf again.
Well, listen, if you want to see an example of everything you just said, watch the movie with Kevin Costner called Tin Cup. It's one of my favorite golf movies.
I love Tin Cup.
Love that movie. Todd, another thing, you know, Boris Becker, the tennis player, how the mighty have fallen. He's going to go to jail for many years for, he committed bankruptcy fraud. Oh, wow. After all the money he made, some ridiculous 70 million, whatever the hell he made. Now he's going down at his age at 54 years old. He's going to go to jail on multiple charges.
How long do you know what the charges?
It hasn't been estimated. I mean, it's been estimated, but it hasn't been said yet. He concealed assets and debts. And after all the money he made, it's more than $1 million in debt.
Wow.
It's really tragic. Here's one of the strangest stories I've ever seen. At the Clipper Timberwolves game, TJ, your home place.
Right.
All right. A woman walked out on the court and glued her hand to the court and didn't want to be removed.
I mean, she'd kind of be in the way, I would think.
Right underneath the end court basket, right?
First off, that's got to be some really fast acting glue, because anybody I know that runs out onto a court or a basket or a field, they're removed pretty quickly, right? You don't have a lot of time before security removes you. If you go out there and like put your hand down, I'm assuming it needs to be there for a minute before that glue actually bonds you to where you can't move.
I'm just wondering what team she was rooting for. I don't get it.
Well, I guess maybe who was up at the time, you know, because maybe that she was thinking they would just call the game at that point, whoever's winning.
I don't know.
I mean, Todd, I wouldn't think she would travel to Minneapolis if she wasn't, you know, a Timberwolves fan.
rules.
I would go with that a little bit. Todd, thank you so much. We kept you longer than we should have, but you know, I hope you enjoyed your time on the show. Please share with us anything more you want about your amazing company. And I know you're jamming like crazy, and I'm so proud of you, man. I mean, you've got a dynasty going here. Keep it going, man. I want my meals to keep being delivered to my door.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, definitely appreciate working with you, Bruce. We love working with USC. Work with a lot of different.
Oh, that's one I forgot to say. You work with UFC. So yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do all the stuff with Clinton Duncan over there in the UFCPI. So any of the athletes that actually get programming from training and diets and recovery through the PI, we'll do their diets. So we work with quite a few of the fighters. I think the whole intention there is to not really just make weight cut a thing that's like an 8-week jam it in, put a sauna suit on, right? It's really to build that sustainable lifestyle. So in my opinion, any top competitor out there in any sport, but specifically combat sports, should be to get into that, I'll call it, make weight, right, in a few weeks and not having that big up and down. And I think that's what the availability of our meals allows them to do, and the element of convenience, right? A lot of the fighters don't just fight. They have business. They're a mom, they're a dad, they're multiple other things. And from that standpoint, I think the element of having those meals shipped to them based on their macros allows them to do a lot of things. So, yeah, we've had a great opportunity in working with them for the last little while.
That's awesome. You know, and to add to that, one of the things that allows me to stay in the shape I'm in with the meals being delivered is portion control.
Correct. It's a big thing. Yeah.
Very, very key. Very key. Todd, thank you so much. Appreciate it very much. Looking forward to greatness. Looking forward to the buffer burrito eventually when we get that done.
Lots of good things in the works. Pleasure. TJ, we got to get you some meals. So we'll get your address from Bruce and get you over some good stuff to try.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, sure. TJ, email, you've got Todd's thing, email.
Yeah, I will definitely send it. I'm a fat kid, Todd. I like food, so.
We'll help you convert the fat kids.
Well, you can never convert the fat kid. Fat kid's a state of mind. I might be skinny at the moment, but always a fat kid.
That's the same with me, but I say we get to now make good, better, bad choices, right? So
I like it.
Take some of that.
We'll be in touch, Todd. Thank you.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you, brother. Big cheers, my man. Keep it up. Keep it up going.
Thanks, Bruce.
Take care. Thank you. That was cool, TJ.
Yeah, no, super nice guy. One thing that I can tell with Todd, too, and I think it's really important when it comes to industries like this, is he's passionate about what he is doing. And, you know, I mean, diets are so, you know, sensitive to people. And I'm not saying like, you know, mentally sensitive. I'm just saying like, if you aren't, you know, fully committed with a diet, you're not going to stick with it. And, you know, obviously Todd is doing his best to create food that is enjoyable and easy to consume and allow people to stay on a regimen.
Absolutely true. And one thing I mentioned on the show before, and this goes to what you just said, I try to refer to it as a nutritional program. Because right. The word diet, the first three letters spelled die. Okay.
Well, that's the thing, though, too. A lot of people misconstrue what the word diet is, like literally. Like, obviously, when we say you're going on a diet, people think that it's a restrictive thing. But we always have a diet. How's your diet? Always. You might not be on a diet, but all the food that you consume, that's your diet.
Exactly. And again, it's all about consistency and efforts. And that's the thing. Not just 2 weeks, 3 weeks, lose 10 pounds to gain back 15, which is pretty standard on what happens. The quicker you lose weight, the faster you can gain it back, the slower you lose weight. By staying consistent, you keep it off.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the longer you've taken to gain weight, that's the length of time it's going to take you to lose it. Just get into your program, enjoy your foods, have your cheat days, train, live life, love life, eat right.
Okay. I mean, you know this about me. I at one time lost almost 100 pounds, about 97, 98 pounds. And, you know, unfortunately, I've gained a lot of it back. But the thing that I learned during that time, Bruce, was there were weeks where I would eat the right way and weeks that I would eat the wrong way. And let me tell you, you want to just stop doing anything when it's one of those weeks where it's the wrong way, when you're starving yourself or when you're eating food that may have calories, but you're getting absolutely nothing out of it. You can still lose weight, you know, eating that garbage, but you're more starving yourself. And that's one thing that I have learned with age is when you make the right decisions, those right decisions are based on what is actually in the food that you're making, not necessarily the numbers and the caloric sort of hit you take by maybe eating too much. You can eat too much, but if you're still, you know, like you said, working out and you know, being active and the food that you're quote unquote eating too much of, if it's healthy, it's going to go a long way.
Eat right, be right, feel right. Okay. Very, very simple. And for me, on another way of putting that, I went to London and it was meat, 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 and all this meals because I was being taken up by my partners and my energy drink and my cologne line, which are based there. And I had a great time, but I couldn't wait to get home and start eating normal again.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's, you know, better than anybody. It's hard to eat properly when you're traveling and doubly hard when you are traveling internationally.
No question. All right. Listen, a couple other quick news stories and we're going to sign off. TJ, LAPD has just announced that gangs are threatening the rich and famous, as they call them.
Right.
And what they're doing now is for those of you rich and famous people out there that might be listening to the show, Los Angeles gangs now are partially to blame for this recent crime wave. What's happening is gang members are targeting for brazen robberies, wealthy people, rich and famous, wealthy, whatever you want to call them. Okay. There's at least, according to LAPD, 17 gangs, including ones affiliated with the Bloods and the Crips. They're sending gang members out looking for folks wearing expensive jewelry and driving luxury cars. Okay. And what they do is they follow off or follow them home. They'll watch them coming out of high-end boutiques, swanky hotels, fancy restaurants, and the hottest nightclubs. They're wearing like a fancy watch, whatever.
Right.
And boom, they'll follow them 3 to 5 cars deep, TJ. Okay. With the gang members hopping out of the rides, attacking the victims, pistol whipping them, brandishing firearms and pistol whipping them. Some of these robberies have involved some celebrities recently, including Clarence Avant and his wife, Jacqueline, who was shot and killed.
Oh my God.
Their Beverly Hills home when they had an armed robbery. And then in Beverly Hills, in brazen daylight at a hot spot called Opostio, this fabulous Italian restaurant that I love eating at too. And I've been there the couple of times I have, where a woman was shot in the leg, right? And the cops say the shooter and two accomplices ran off with $500,000 Richard Mille watch that the man was wearing.
Oh my God. You know,
that broad daylight, TJ.
That's the thing that's crazy about that too, is especially when I moved out of here, you know, I'm from the Midwest. So like I have family that live, you know, in the rural parts of Minnesota, and then they go, I can't believe you live in Los Angeles. And it's like, you don't understand, you know, if you haven't been to LA, you don't realize how big the Southern California and Los Angeles is as a whole. And, you know, I remember talking to an aunt of mine who seemed to be concerned about, you know, gang activity. And I'm like, you know, for the most part, you don't really have to worry about it. Like a lot of gang violence is because of business deals and things like that. If you don't put yourself in certain situations, it's very rare that any sort of random violence is going to find you. But this is kind of crazy. This is a different sort of thing, Bruce, where you're just out minding your own business. And because you're, you know, someone who, you know, comes from money or has worked very hard and has accrued some wealth, that you're a target because you're just out and about and, you know, wearing too much jewelry or just any jewelry that could be, you know, thought about as a target to take.
I can comment a lot on this subject. I think it speaks for itself. I really can't comment beyond that. But you know what? The best self-defense there is to be observant.
Right. I mean, you talked about that, you know, sitting in restaurants with your back to the wall, keeping an eye on the entrance.
The exits.
Right. Yeah. Things like that. The thing that's, again, sort of like concerns me about this is if you mind your P's and Q's, 99% of the time, I believe we live in a world that's not going to hurt you. It's not going to go out of the way to randomly hurt you. But this is a little bit different.
Well, speaking randomly hurt, our Stupid Is a Stupid Does segment of the show. And I'm sorry this happened. I'm not trying to make fun of it. But one teenager is dead after at least two teens took turns shooting at each other.
What?
Wearing body armor. In other words, shooting each other to see if the body armor would stop the bullet.
You know, you don't have to shoot someone wearing the body armor to test it, right? You could put it on like a stuffed
stick it
animal.
In the ground, right. Stick it against a wall, see if it goes through.
And again, like the idea of a bulletproof vest or anything like that, no one is saying that it makes you invincible. You know what I mean? It's something that you never want to rely on, but you're happy it's there when you need it.
Well, you know what? Even if you're wearing as an officer or a soldier will tell you, you get hit with a bullet in a bulletproof vest, it hurts. Okay.
Yeah, of course. You're getting hit by a bullet. I mean, it might not penetrate and go into your body, but you're going to crush your ribs, whatever.
I love the John Wick movies and dramatization's good. I know he's wearing a bulletproof, you know, designer suit. But man, every bullet he took, how could he still keep moving with the multiple wounds?
I mean, that's Hollywood.
I love John Wick.
Hollywood.
Keanu Reeves is so good in John Wick.
So I'm curious, do you know this story? And I don't know how much you've dug into it. I mean, the headline is pretty shocking in itself. But the teen that shot this other teen that passed away, are they, you know, in trouble for manslaughter? Or are they having charges brought against them in any way, shape, or form?
Let's see. During the investigation, the shooting, they discovered evidence to prove that Josh Vining, 17, had shot and killed Broad. Vining has been arrested and charged with aggravated manslaughter of a child with a firearm.
I mean,
because the 16-year-old was the one that died. Like, he's 17, so they're calling the 16-year-old a child.
Well, I hope that this is a lesson to idiots. You know what I mean? Like, it's dumb enough to do that to begin with, but also, if we actually need to have a charge listed with it, hopefully that's a deterrent to not do something silly this. Because death should be enough. The fact that you might kill someone by accident should be enough of a deterrent. But if the worst happens, going to jail for it, I guess I'm happy that charges are being applied.
And one last little story, John Hinckley. Remember him? He tried to kill Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back in 1981, he's been released. He is acquitted by reason of insanity.
Right.
He has an upcoming guitar performance in Brooklyn this summer. It's already sold out.
I mean, that's so strange. I don't know how to handle that. It's the same with Mark David Chapman, who killed John Lennon. I understand that mental illness is a thing, and maybe you can argue that you shouldn't be held fully liable to the, largest degree of a charge of like a premeditated murder when you're insane. But the idea that you can murder someone on purpose, whether you're mentally ill or not,
yeah,
and then go out and about and live a life and then use this unfortunate situation as an ability to, monetize, in my opinion. Like, is anyone going to see this person if they weren't the person to try to kill Ronald Reagan? Probably not, yeah. Right?
To me, it's somewhat the equivalent on a different level of buying a strand of Charles Manson's hair, or something like that.
Right.
Who does this? Yeah. But anyway, maybe he's a fine guitar player.
Okay, but he's just better now? We're not worried about him? He's just better?
No offense. I wouldn't go. I'm not going to support him.
No, I mean, we talk about this all the time and about, you're a big World War II collector. There are certain things that you won't collect for good reason.
Anything having to do with the genocide, I will not collect.
Right. I would never want to be associated with someone who tried to assassinate a president.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, TJ, what's up? Let's sign off.
Let's see what we got going on here. UFC's this weekend. You're going to be on hand in Las Vegas. Pretty fun fight between Vicente Luque and Bilal Muhammad. This is a fight for me that maybe doesn't necessarily jump off the page considering what we had a week ago from a marquee standpoint, but there's a lot on the line between these two athletes, and I'm really excited about it.
Number 5 and number 6 contenders. I'm really looking forward to both fine gentlemen too. I really like them both a lot. And then the show is filled with people out of the contender series and right. Dana White, looking for a fight and all that have come up through the ranks. And you might say, as typical of some fans, not that great a card. You know what? Every one of these warriors entering the octagon Saturday night are going to want to prove themselves. There's going to be some fights and there's bonuses given out because of it. You're going to see it.
Here's the thing. You could be let's say you're a hardcore MMA fan from a decade ago, but you don't know anything of the last 10 years. Let's say you stopped watching. If you tuned in on Saturday night and watched Khamzat Chimaev fight Gilbert Burns, you don't know who either of those men are. We do, obviously. Yeah. But my point is it doesn't matter if you know necessarily all of these athletes by name. They are ones, these fights, they'll make you remember their name. And I understand there's a lot more UFC cards today than there was, say, in 2005. But Bruce, I remember staying up late to watch reruns of the UFC where they would put these little small fights on the Sunshine Network, which was a regional sports network in Florida. I remember watching Tiki Gozin and Bob Cook, a fight that I had already knew about, but the fact that they replayed it, I was staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning. I understand maybe not everyone wants to stay inside on a Saturday night and watch mixed martial arts because it is so readily available. But I promise you, there's going to be a fight card that you blow off and think, I don't need to see it. And it's going to have a fight of the year candidate on it. Do not be the guy that misses that fight.
No question. And so for me, I'm with you all the way on that, TJ. I'm looking forward to it. I love watching the new up-and-comers. It's going to be a lot of fun. My brother Brian's coming to Vegas with me this weekend.
Don't tell Sammy.
Well, Brian's coming. We're going to the show together. And I'm meeting my Puncher's Chance partners because I'm going in early. I'm going to be appearing at the Stage Door Casino across from Bally's on Friday. The show's posted on Thursday. Tomorrow on Friday, from 2 to 5 p.m., come join me. Have a drink with me. We've got special Puncher's Chance drinks. You can buy bottles. I'm going to sign him. I'll be there for 3 hours.
Do you have a favorite recipe for puncher's chance, or do you just like it straight?
I actually made an old fashioned with it that came out very, very well. Nice. Very well. So a friend of mine helped me make the cherries, and she's a bartender for many, many years. And we put it together. And now I have it written in my phone. If you say, make me an old fashioned when you come over next week, I can go to my recipe and I can make you an old fashioned when you're over here.
I want to lay a challenge out to our listeners and viewers. I want them to come up with a recipe that you and I, or maybe a guest could try. And the best recipe that we come up with, it's got to be unique. It can't just be like an old fashioned, but the best recipe that we can mix up, they can name it and maybe we can find a prize for.
If listeners, this is a valid offer right now, send us a recipe, put it together, send us a video along with the recipe. And if we select one, TJ and I together, and I'll even send it to my partners at Puncher's Chance. If we all select your recipe, I will send you, I'll send you an autograph picture. Yay. But I will send you a signed bottle of Puncher's Chance.
That's huge. That would be cool. Okay. That would be cool. And yep. I just love the idea of people, you know, getting the opportunity to be creative. And, you know, it's safe to say, Bruce, anybody could win this. So everybody's got a Puncher's Chance.
Because there you go. Thank you. Took the words out of my mouth. Send it in, take your Puncher's Chance and receive a bottle of Puncher's Chance. If you win, I would love to see it, but you got to send us a video. Got to send us a video with the bottle in your hand and putting it together, not just write us a recipe. Okay.
Yeah. 100%. Let's give people like 6 weeks. Okay. Six weeks.
Tell them where to send it.
You can send it to me, DeSantisMMA@gmail.com. Put Puncher's Chance in the subject so I don't miss it. And again, like you said, video and, you know, a listed recipe as well on what you use would be appreciated. And we can revisit it.
Done. 6 week challenge. It's on the table right there. Okay, everybody. I will see you from the Octagon on Saturday night. Looking forward to roaring for all these up and coming fighters and Luque and Bilal Muhammad. I'm actually really, really looking forward to that.
It's going to be a fight that is going to say a lot about who might be the next sort of up and comer in that division, because for all intents and purposes, it's kind of wide open right now. We could see either of those guys really come out and make a claim to fast track themselves to the top.
Absolutely. Absolutely wide open. All right, TJ, I'll talk to you next week. And everybody out there, please set your goals, write them down, be the best you can be. So when you step on that path, you perform at your best, whether you're number one, number two, or the champion of the world. The bottom line is if you do your best, you're winning. And that's what we're all about in It's Time Radio. We'll be back next week with another exciting show, fun show, because we always like to have fun talking and we talk about it all, folks. Big cheers, no fears for a great week. Buffer out, TJ out. Take care, everybody.